Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
And we're back with our all-new Keep It Mysteries. it's a new era. Kara's gone. Tommy Vitor's here.
Hey.
This is your third Keep It appearance.
I'm honored.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Do you know how many Jon Favreau's been on?
Over. I love how this joke just got real and will never go away.
I know. People think I actually hate him.
No, you don't.
And I do, which is the funny part about it. We are here to, I don't know, talk about Keep It, to revisit Keep It.
How do you do a best of when it's the best show and all the episodes are great? How do you choose?
I don't know. Maybe we should just not do a best of.
The best of episode is just all the episodes glued together.
Let's just talk about foreign policy.
Okay, happy to. Happy to do that. Let's talk about it.
What should I know?
Don't go to war with Iran. That would be bad.
Okay, cool. I was thinking of going there this week for the 4th of July.
Oh, to Tehran?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I'm sure you could get, you go to nice fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a little real.
Yeah, yeah. Do they have
ballistic missile as fireworks.
Do they have a Thompson Hotel there?
It's more like an even prison, but we could find you some accommodations.
Okay, cool, cool.
Just wouldn't get the check out.
Well, as long as they have article furniture and parachute sheets. Article has. Parachute has not advertised on Keep It.
Yet.
Hmm.
They can't afford you.
Oh. Aw. That's so sweet of you. We are going to talk about this show, this little show that I started a year ago. I don't know. This is the 84th episode.
That's a lot of episodes.
84 episodes of people listening to me talk. I guess 83. I wasn't in one episode.
That's all right. It started in that shitty-ass old office in the little studio on La Cienega.
Yes.
Which is a major thoroughfare in Los Angeles. Not the place you want to put a soundproof recording studio because it was not soundproof, but we persevered.
It was not close to my apartment either, and I was always late.
And the AC never works in the room itself. It was a tough spot.
Yeah, but it was that room where I gathered Kara and Lewis, and we started our little show called Keep It.
And magic happened.
I am joined by two great friends of mine, the only two people who agreed to be on this show with me.
Shade begins now.
Lewis Fertel, comedian and writer for Hit Fix, Billboard, and Billy on the Street.
I'm here for Loud Gay Men, including you, Ira.
Thank you, Lewis. We also have Kara Brown, former senior writer for Jezebel and current staff writer at Freeform's Grownish.
Oh, hey, Ira. I feel like we're at brunch right now.
It sort of is like we're at brunch because you know I brought Prosecco.
Oh.
It's our first episode.
Oh, man.
I'm supposed to be doing dry January, but, you know.
It's a dry Prosecco.
It's a very dry Prosecco. It's an expensive Prosecco.
Oh, and also Prosecco is just my favorite food. We should just have it every week.
So we're going to pop it right now and celebrate.
Oh.
Woo!
My masculine friend Ira popping that.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Here we go.
We sound like guests at a murder mystery.
Good thing we're recording this at 6 in the morning.
That's right. No, we're drinking like Desi Arnaz in the morning. Like we have a problem.
Desi Arnaz. That is a real specific reference.
You want contemporary references, you come to Keep It. That's what I'm bringing you.
Now that we've popped the champagne, let's get to the news.
Let's get to it.
Please.
Tommy, what's your favorite Julia Roberts movie?
The Pelican Brief. I don't know. What's a good Julia Roberts movie?
I love The Pelican Brief.
Yeah, that's one I can remember off the top of my head. What's the name? Pretty Woman?
Pretty Woman.
She's great in everything.
My favorite one is My Best Friend's Wedding.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And Stepmom is also great.
Do you know what I remember most about Julia Roberts?
What?
Remember when she was briefly married to Lyle Lovett and the tabloids were so mean to him because they kept talking about how gorgeous she was and comparing her to him?
Yeah, you know, he's cute.
He's a very talented artist. He's a kind man.
Yeah, he has a little Coen Brothers je ne sais quoi about him.
I agree. And some swagger that comes from performing on stage in front of thousands of people.
Do you think Julia Roberts would rather have dinner with her ex-husband, Lyle Lovett, or with John Lovett?
I think Lyle.
Mm-hmm.
You might get a song out of it.
Mm, yeah, well, so with those people who accidentally went to Lovett's show.
They were pissed. Okay, so funny story. My friend that I used to live with in D.C., used to work in the White House with, knows Lyle Lovett well. And we would have these email chains where we were going back and forth. And every once in a while, he would accidentally CC Lyle Lovett, not John Lovett. So we've all conversed with Lyle. And when the mix-up went down about the Lovett show confusing the Lyle Lovett listeners, there were some words exchanged.
Mm. Were these like government secrets that were accidentally sent to Lyle Lovett?
No, it was like, are you coming over later? We're drinking at the house.
Oh, okay. I was really excited to start a Benghazi trial with all of you. I want to be a witness.
Let's do it.
In a Senate judiciary hearing.
You and Trey Gowdy.
I'm talking about Julia Roberts because I had Barry Jenkins on the show and he talked about how much he loves Julia Roberts.
Okay.
And he got drunk on a plane once and live tweeted Notting Hill. You should work with Julia.
You know, she introduced a screening of Moonlight, man. She's dope, man. She's fam. Yeah.
Yeah, she loves black people. She would do something. She loved Denzel.
Ira said that. Ira said that, not Barry Jenkins. Just let the record show. Ira said that, not Barry Jenkins. I'm sure she does love black people, yes.
She loves Denzel.
Yes.
I remember when, at that Oscars performance.
When I met her, I felt love. Yeah. You know, I saw her with Stefan. He felt love. So, yes, you can say that. But Ira Madison said, Julia Roberts loves black people.
I'm putting it out there. Julia, if you don't agree, you can correct me. But I don't think she will. Yeah, do like a Pelican Brief TV show. I don't know. I'm just telling you to do
no, 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 no. You know, with her, I want cinema because I'm sure you saw that story about me getting drunk on a plane and tweeting about Notting Hill. And so there's something about that. Yeah, everybody knows I'm a big Julia fan. So yeah, someday.
Who doesn't love getting drunk on a plane and live tweeting a movie?
You know, see, what happened was it was a long flight back from Europe. I had been waiting for 3 hours in a Charles de Gaulle, then the flight to JFK. Then I missed the plane at JFK. And so then I had a drink or two, and then I got on the plane at JFK, and it was like stormy, and so I just started drinking, and there was Notting Hill, and the whole thing just, it kind of, you know, something happens, and you don't understand it's happening until after it's already halfway happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just happened to log on Twitter and realize, like, oh shit, people are following what I'm tweeting, and it just didn't occur to me.
Yeah.
It just didn't occur to me, bro. I was terrified, man. I thought that was going to be, like, bad. But it was
really,
I was like, you know, people know that I'm drunk and I'm on like a plane and I'm tweeting about this damn movie. And I'm like, I don't know. I just didn't. I was drunk. So obviously I was like, what the hell is happening?
90% of my tweets are when I'm drunk.
Again, Ira Madison said 90% of his tweets are drunk. Yes. I'm just sitting here very sober, just having a conversation.
Okay. So now that Karen and Lewis are gone, Tommy, do you think I could have Desus and Mero be the co-host?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That'd be a great pairing. The time you guys interviewed them in this very room where we sit was the loudest I've ever heard laughing through the walls of a soundproof recording studio in my life. People were like, what is happening in there? You guys were having such a good time. It was a lot of FOMO.
I mean, you guys were laughing a lot when you recorded that post-election episode in 2016. A lot of laughter.
Yeah, a lot of adult male tears that day. Desus and Mero are so fun, and they're so funny, and I love their show on Showtime. And like, they just walked in this room, and you guys just clicked.
Yeah, you know, it was like a black sitcom, and Lewis was Jenna Von Oy.
Who?
Six from Blossom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was also in The Parkers, the spinoff of Moesha.
Everybody knew that. Who was listening?
Have you ever seen Moesha?
Oh, I watched some Moesha, yeah.
Okay.
Was it TJF?
No, that was UPN.
Well, I mean, I used to watch that shit.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Mayim Bialik guy.
Mm. Really?
No, Joey. No.
Okay. Mayim Bialik is like rude.
Is she?
Yeah, she attacked Ariana Grande for wearing a skirt and a bra on her album cover and said it was bad for her kid to look at.
That seems ridiculous.
Yeah. You know what's ridiculous? All those fucking hats she wore on Blossom. They were ugly.
They were terrible.
Anyway, here's Desus and Mero.
If you actually go to the places in LA that people like recommend tourists, that makes you hate LA. So you have to actually discover the rad things yourself. You actually sound like you're doing that. So that's exciting.
Yeah. Nobody walks in LA anyway.
Oh no!
Like
no.
If you walk, people like look at you out their cars. Like what the?
Look at that!
Like
poor.
It's like Black Mirror. Like what is? What
we
you,
hop
like,
from AC to AC.
This is true.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Meanwhile, we were like on Google Maps, and they're like, "Oh, it's 20 minutes by car. That's 15 minutes New York walking style." Right? And now you're just walking through desolate blocks. People are peeking out through their windows. People call the cops on you.
There's a man walking.
Do you think maybe now they recognize you guys though? Like, is that?
You know
is
what?
That weird? Because they might just be like, it's not just people walking, it's Desus and Mero walking.
Well, maybe if it's both of us, because if it's just me, they can't tell I'm Desus, and if it's just him, they can't tell it's Mero.
Yeah. It's only together. When you're together.
Oh, it's you guys. Like,
the funny thing is, like, when they confuse us, I'm like, we look nothing alike.
They're like, yo, I've watched every episode. I've listened to podcasts religiously. I watch the show every
I'm
night.
A super
yo,
fan.
I love you. Mero. Like, I'm not Mero. Mero's the other one who is a different shade. He has four kids. Like.
Well, you know, more white people will recognize you now because you have the Showtime show.
Yeah. Showtime.
And they Showtime? Watch Showtime.
They watch,
they watch Shameless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The
yeah.
network of the United States of Terror, where you belong.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The See, Big C with Laura Linney.
We don't know the lineup of Showtime. We haven't memorized it yet. So people are like, yo, did you see this show? I'm like, yeah.
Yo, did you see LaCroix?
Where Showtime means, I'm like, yeah, because, you know, Showtime's looking good. Game of Thrones is coming back.
You know what I'm
like,
saying?
Like, that's not us.
You know what I'm
that's
saying? They're bringing back Sex and the City.
They've got Jim Carrey, though, right?
Yeah. They got Jim Carrey. They got The Chai.
Yeah, yeah, Lena Waithe show.
The Lena Waithe show. They got
Regina Hall.
Regina Hall, Black
yes,
Monday.
And John Cheadle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They got a Wu-Tang documentary coming up.
The LeBron joint, Shut Up and Dribble.
How do you feel being on, like, premium cable? You went from, like,
you gotta pay for that shit.
That's a bit of a flex.
Slight flex.
It's like our fourth network, and this is they keep leveling up. I see how casually I just threw that out there.
But I mean, black people can't afford Showtime anyway, right? So.
Yeah.
That was a real specific reference.
I'm glad you made the references that we can't make.
Exactly.
Appreciate you. Speaking on our behalf.
I will be borrowing a Showtime login. It's all good.
So is the new show going to, like, is it going to be a super big departure from the old show? Is it still just you two talking shit for like an hour?
Not at all. It's the heart and soul of the show is us.
Yeah.
Our, like, chemistry, our banter. So that is the head of the show. You know what I mean? Like, we come in with that, and then we have a budget now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, producers aren't scared to be like, yo, let's go do this field piece over here, or let's go investigate this, or let's do that.
It's basically the same show, just more MAGA-friendly.
Mm-hmm. Like, we're going sharp.
Yeah.
We went hard on Trump, and it's like, you know,
just take it easy on him a little bit. You know what I'm saying? He likes like fish fillet, too. You know what I'm saying?
So how do we take a successful podcast, I'm just going to say it is.
Oh, wow.
Put it in the universe.
To premium cable.
Just keep banging.
Just show up at Showtime.
You know what? After us, like, I think any kind of black or brown podcast, just go to a premium network. Like,
oh, facts.
Y'all want this.
Yo, hit up Stars right now. As soon as you're like, yo, fam, yo, Desus Mero here, they got Showtime joint. I should just pop it too. What's up?
Nah, I mean,
you be in there.
It was just a matter of, like, the right people have to hear your podcast.
Yeah.
We worked hard to build the brand, but at the end of the day, it's like, there's like three people that heard our podcast that basically started this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hit a, you know, like, you could have the greatest podcast ever, and if the right people don't hear it, you're not going to get the opportunities you want with it. But I mean, as long as you keep making it and put it out there.
Well, we know these Pod Save boys, you know, like, they keep flexing because they've been on HBO.
Yeah, they out
not,
there.
They're very arrogant.
Yeah, they were on our show too, right?
Yeah.
How were they? How were they? Because I have thoughts.
Your best guess easily, right?
Oh, yeah, by cool. far. Absolutely, yeah.
I thought they were a rap group at first.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah.
I was like, is this Logic? What the fuck?
I was like, wow. I was like, yo, the Beastie Boys really aged well. I was like, okay.
But they were cool, and they were like, "Oh, it's like politics and shit." I was like, "Yeah."
I was like, "I'm a little hung."
Well, I think it's the fact that, like, because when I think of you two, I remember like maybe 5 years ago, just like Twitter people, when everyone was just like a Twitter person, like tweeting too much, and like you never knew who actually had a job, like, or you knew if someone had like a real day job, you didn't know.
Like, I used to have to hide my identity all the time. Like,
yeah,
because if anyone found out where I worked, like, I would have been fired at the spot, which would have been a blessing, because I was actually at the time trying to get fired from them. If you ever have a job so bad, you're like, how much is unemployment?
Oh, word?
Let's just get it. Oh, they give you debit cards out?
And for like, and I think if you look back for like maybe a solid 3 months, I was actively trying to get fired and I was live tweeting it. And no matter what I did, they would not fire me.
I know what it's like. I used to work at BuzzFeed.
You know what it is. You know what it is. Also, I would apply for BuzzFeed. Like,
you applied at BuzzFeed?
I came in hot today.
I applied for almost every... I applied for BuzzFeed. I applied for... The Root, I applied for.
Oh my gosh.
None of them.
The Root didn't hire you?
I applied for a social media position.
Damon.
And they were like,
Panama.
They didn't even call me back. I was like, yo, what's up? Ebony didn't call me back. I'm like, you hire every black person. You don't pay them. You
but... Is it weird?
Ooh, the team. The LaCroix is scalding.
Jesus.
We're all getting fired. Is it, fine.
Is it weird for you two seeking out new opportunities for you guys to like be rad and out there when, in fact, all you need is just your dynamic. You don't need to fuck with it. It doesn't need to turn into anything else. Right. Is there some like anxiety about messing with it at all?
Not really.
It's first of all, I mean, like, we did the other show with no writers at all.
Right.
And now we have like a super dream team of writers. Shout out to Z-Way, shout out to Heaven, shout out to Claire, you know what I mean? Like
Josh and them.
Josh Gondelman, one of the great tweeters.
Josh, you know what I mean? Mike Pulasic, everybody. They fuck with us, so they know what direction to take a sketch in or like something like that, you know what I mean? So that added element to the show is still going to be our voice.
You know what I mean? Doing some acting?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Let me tell you something. We are not good actors. So you will enjoy it. All our acting is basically like it's just Jesus and Meryl playing a role. I don't want to ruin anything. If anyone, y'all are going to love our remake of Green Book.
Oh,
stop. Yes. No. Stop.
I'm ready.
Oh. It's going to be lit.
Whoa. Black people eat chicken?
Whoa. Hey.
Oh.
Hey. It's me, Marshmallow Hooli. I'm with this.
Hey, yo, get in my car. I'll drive you to Moonlight.
All right.
So the entire world is from the Bronx.
Yes.
That's just like, that's your
that's
acting.
That's our show. Yeah. Because in the movie, like, they barely use the Green Book. And it's just like, he's like, where's my Green Book? Like,
that's
like,
that's how it ends.
Yeah. You guys joke, but one of these sketches is going to, like, blow up. And you're going to have to make it into a real movie.
Oh, we can't wait.
Tommy,
mm-hmm.
I have a serious question.
What?
What do you think about using the N-word?
It's not something I do a lot. Yeah, no, it's not my thing.
You know what's weird? It's not Karamo Brown's thing either.
This conversation, I remember listening to it and like gripping my steering wheel because I could just feel the tension through the speakers. It was heated.
I've never felt more like Barbara Walters in my life.
You were great. You did not let up an inch.
Anyway, if you never heard that classic sit down between me and Karamo, here it is.
Get ready.
On the red carpet in February.
Yes.
Your t-shirt.
Yes.
With nigga, crossed out, neither there.
Yes.
So what's up with that neither?
So.
I personally, listen, we use nigga on this show freely. Kara and I do.
Okay.
I didn't grow up, you know, with that being a word that, you know, I don't use.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand, you know, that some black people don't feel comfortable with it. But I also feel like a statement like that is a bit sliding in the respectability politics for me. But I just always wanted to ask you about that shirt.
I would love, you know, you and me are going to be friends for the rest of our life. So, no, I'm being real. So I wore that shirt. First of all, I don't subscribe to that word. And the reason I don't subscribe to that word is because I spend a lot of time with people who are
older generations than me. Mm-hmm. And so I understand the pain that that word used. There was a time that I casually threw that word around, mm-hmm. especially when I was in high school. I would say even my freshman year
from
of college.
Again?
I'm from Houston, Texas. And then okay. when my parents got divorced, I moved to Parkland, Florida, where the shooting just happened.
Yeah.
And
I'm from Milwaukee. My family uses that word. My mom does. My grandmother does.
Hear me out.
I've never had a problem with older people in the black community.
It's different. Yeah. So, and this is one of the things with that word. But so those people who are older that I've interacted with, that word causes deep pain. And though I grew up in hip hop culture where that word was thrown around very easily, as I started to really learn what that word was, and then I started to see people outside of our race, mm-hmm. outside of the African American race, start to use that word, it did start to bother me. Now, the reason I've had that shirt.
That's a their problem, though.
That's a their problem?
That's a white people problem, though. I mean, white.
That's a me problem. I feel like
black people being able to use the word and white people wanting to use the word are two different issues. That's just white people wanting to do whatever they want to do, like they have since Columbus slinked over here.
I disagree with you 100%.
Okay.
I disagree with you. And if someone was to call me the F word as a gay man, it would upset me. And so when I also hear straight people say that, calling each other that as something that they think is fun or using gay as a derogatory term, that's me and my culture making it seem as if this was acceptable behavior. You teach people how to treat you. That is one mm-hmm. thing we do know to be true. And so when I see white Americans who use that word nonchalantly, who are not using it in a malicious way, and that's also the thing. We can't pick and choose when, like, this person can use it, and then this person we want to get upset.
I think we can. There's parts of white privilege that I can never use. There's parts of white culture that I can't use.
You're going to privilege versus a word. I don't think that using a derogatory term gives us privilege. And now I'll get back to that t-shirt.
I don't think it gives me privilege, but I have the privilege to use it.
But that's the same thing. You're saying that it gave you some privilege. And I think that you're free to use anything you want to use, but you also should understand that there's repercussions and there's people that word still does hurt. Now, the reason I wore that shirt then, because I've had that shirt for a very long time, was because
it was vintage.
A vintage shirt. It was vintage. Vintage, honey. That event was the premiere of Unsolved.
Biggie and Tupac.
And I thought that it was very clear with an all African American audience, which that was what was in attendance, almost 99% was African American. And also with the fact that these two artists were sort of the catalyst, in a sense, of making that word popular and making it part of pop culture. It was used by Biggie, it was used by the whole Bad Boy camp, it was used by Death Row, it was used by Tupac. And so I thought, what better way to express the fact.
Lorraine Hansberry, August Wilson, Susan Laurie Parks is used by playwrights on Broadway.
I'm not saying it's not, but I'm also saying, see, what you're trying to do is you're trying to take away the fact of how I feel.
No, I know you feel that way.
My feeling for that and the reason I wore that shirt is to say I actually don't believe or subscribe in this shirt. And so I am neither this nor that. Mm-hmm. So please understand that as we're going through this event, don't think that as you greet me, that those are appropriate way to greet me. And I will be very clear, and you know this, there are certain settings, especially in where it's fully African-American, where we feel very comfortable with each other, and someone will walk up to you and say, "What's up, my N-word?"
Nigga, yeah, I'll say it to people.
Yeah, and I don't like that greeting for me.
Okay.
You know, I'd prefer someone
to say, I wouldn't greet you with that.
And so that shirt was clearly letting them know my feelings on that. But somehow, because we're looking for respectability, politics, we're looking for all of this, that it somehow doesn't become just my statement of saying this is who I am and what I'm comfortable with. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that I brought shirts for everyone else to wear. I wore the shirt for myself and just said, this is who I am.
Okay. I'm perfectly fine with people who don't want to use that word.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with people.
So then why do you have an issue with me wearing the shirt?
I had an issue with you wearing the shirt because it was on a red carpet. It was in Getty Images. It got put online, and that then ascribes of you sending a message out that you don't like the word. And I get that that was personally just for you.
Yeah.
But also just know that when it becomes a public image, as a public figure, you wearing that shirt means that that's what you ascribe to, and that's how people will take
so
it.
So did you
when,
feel attacked?
When Kanye wears a MAGA hat,
yeah.
we know that for him, that means make America great again. I love Trump.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, he would probably want to proselytize that to other people.
Okay.
You wearing that shirt to me and other people, we took it as this is your opinion, and you also, you know, wish that us other black folks would stop using that word.
Yeah. And
what's not
wrong
just
with
for
that?
You, you want us to stop using it in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that word.
Yeah.
I found the word beautiful. I found it powerful. I read it in playwrights who have won Pulitzers, who have won MacArthur Genius Grants,
yes.
who have won Oscars. I use it in my home.
Would you felt okay? Would you have felt okay if President Barack Obama would have said that during a speech?
He did.
You show me that speech.
Barack Obama has said the word nigga.
Show me the receipts.
And it's in his book?
Show me the receipts. It's in my book as well. Just because I've written the world is not something that I'm using to greet or to define someone else. So if you...
But Barack didn't have a problem with that word.
You've heard Barack Obama say that
it's
he did
in,
not.
It's in his book.
And he said, I don't have a problem with people calling me those words.
All right.
Because now you're now, again.
Let me call up Barack Obama right now. Let me get John Favreau in here to call Barack Obama
real quick,
for me.
Real quick.
I will verify that, and I will get back to you.
Okay.
But I do not think that Barack Obama, who has written that book multiple times, written that word multiple times in his book, and is from the South Side of Chicago, has a problem with black people using that word amongst themselves.
Well,
obviously, he's not galling, you know, other politicians that word, but
you like to pick and choose. That's all I'm hearing.
I don't use it. You know,
but if you love the word, you feel so empowered by it. Why don't you just use it all the time? Because somewhere in your subconscious, you know that is not right. Somewhere in your subconscious,
there's
it's lurking.
You don't use every word all the time,
but you use it as a greeting. So why don't you greet everyone the same? So I greet everyone the same. Hey friends, how you doing? I love you.
No, I never
so
said I use it as
everyone?
A greeting.
Well, how else are you using it?
I use it when we were talking
as
about...
As an adjective, a verb, what are you using?
We were talking about Alec Baldwin on the podcast the other day saying that black people love him. And I was like, this nigga ain't met a black person that loves him.
Okay. So instead of using his formal name, you're using it as a noun to describe this person.
Yeah. He's wildin'.
See, now you're also adding a lot of definitions of this word.
There are so many definitions, just like there are many definitions, you know. It's like that Bernie Mac sketch where he said that bitch can mean a bunch of whole other different things.
I think what the beauty of
this
is...
Or it might have been fuck. It might have been Monique who said bitch.
Yeah.
Either way, both of them.
I will tell you this, though. And what I do appreciate about you is who you are, your confidence, and your ability to be yourself authentically. And I respect that 100%. I would never, ever judge you as a black man for being who you are and living your truth. And I think that's the clear lesson of this, is that especially in communities of colors or communities where people feel marginalized, that somehow we feel like we all have to be on the same page, and it's okay if we're not. It's okay if I have my viewpoint, and it's okay if you have your viewpoint, because at the end of the day, when I walk in this world, I feel attacked, you feel attacked, and we are still fighting the same battles. And at the end of the day, no matter what you actually refer to me as we're fighting that battle, I'm going to still have your back and you're going to have mine. And I think that's key.
I agree.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, thank you, my neither, for coming on.
No! No, I want more!
I like that, my neither.
I want more with you! No! No! Is the time done already?
Stop!
No! No!
Doors take us to summers away. Or winter adventures. And afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of blackness from NPR and how I live my life every day.
Oh, I'm glad to bear witness to it.
Each of NPR's black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of a struggle.
It sounds like you at Coachella. I'm already tuned in. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as very nuanced and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us.
Doesn't the Black experience sound like a 3-disc Prince album we never got? Someone check the vault, please. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Normally, I would never put an ad in a best of because I am not getting money from this old ad. But it is maybe my favorite ad in Keep It History.
I'm unfamiliar with this one.
I think you know.
I don't know what you're
talking about. Exactly what this one was.
I assume it's parachute sheets.
Yeah, parachute sheets.
Sleep
Yeah. Why don't you all just listen to it?
Or you could skip it.
Guys, I just tasted the most incredible cupcakes.
Tommy's?
Oh, my God. We're still
on
our track.
Tommy, I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me.
Cupcakes is actually a cute, dainty way of putting it, though.
Woo!
Lewis, look what you started.
I know. I feel good. I feel good.
I was talking about Baked by Melissa's bite-sized cupcakes, which ship perfectly and will change how you think about Valentine's Day gifts forever.
Mission accomplished.
We got to bring Tommy's cakes back.
Yeah.
What a moment in history.
What a moment.
I'll never forget.
Here comes another one that I'd love to forget.
This is from when you were claiming to be Keep It's number one fan, and then you failed miserably at our live show when we quizzed you.
In my defense, it was indefensible. Hannah, my wife, came with me, and we got in the car after, and she was like, "Whew, that was tough. It's tough to live that one down."
I mean, tell me, you did not even know that I have a different accent.
That was just, I think I got to a point where I'd gotten a couple wrong. And I was just starting to panic. Okay. And all ability to reason and think went out the door. And I was just fucked.
Well, anyway, if you want to listen to Tommy fail at life, here we go.
Skip this one.
Tommy Vietor, would you welcome Tommy Vietor to the stage? Stay over there.
We already hugged.
Yeah, right.
We hugged backstage.
Also, Tommy, Lewis, and I are in a similar color palette, just shows how, like, on the wave of Keep It you are.
I like to stand out, like Effie White.
Actually, we all have some version of, like, some, like, updated Urban Santa's Workshop maroon thing.
I should admit, I think I pitched myself for this show, because I'm such a big fan. I'm the biggest Keep It fan. I host a show that releases on Wednesdays, too, and...
What's it called? Have we heard of it?
Pod Save the World, no one cares. Okay. Uh-huh.
You are not here to promo your show.
No. What I was going to say is, when I wake up in the morning, I could work out, and I'll come back, and my wife will be streaming a podcast when she's, like, in the shower, and it's Keep It, even though my show came out that day. She listens to you guys, so.
Is it nice to wake up, and for a moment, you think that me, Ira, and Lewis are in the shower with your wife?
Yes. Yes.
Very briefly. I'm sure it passes quickly, but you're like...
It's fleeting.
It's like Riverdale up in there.
Yeah. Get some jingle jangle.
Is yeah. That what we have jingle jangle backstage.
I know. I just had some.
It is crazy. It will never not be. This is a huge tangent. That is what they named, like, the crack that they're selling. Yeah, and then now you stroll into Trader Joe's and they're like jingle jangle for sale yeah. in a tin.
It's fucking merch.
It's crazy.
Now, Tommy claims to stan Keep It. Mm-hmm. But does he truly deserve the title of Keep It's biggest fan, which he just fucking called himself? We're going to quiz him and see how much he truly stands Keep It in a game we're calling, for no other reason than it sounds funny, Jim Stan Laundry. Here on Keep It, we like to honor our nation's icons, everyone from Martha Stewart to Frederick Douglass to Ariana Grande's High Pony. But recently celebrities have been talking about Harriet Tubman in some pretty ignorant ways. Here's what you have to do, Tommy. You have to say who on Keep It said this quote.
Okay.
Here we go. If you bitches don't stop mentioning Harriet Tubman, I swear to God, stop saying her name. She doesn't want you talking about her. I promise. Keep it shut up.
Kara.
You know what it was, Kara?
Harriet even sent out a tweet. She's not having it.
Tommy, mm-hmm. who is often possessed by the living spirit of Catherine Deneuve?
Lewis.
It is not me, unfortunately.
Oh my God, no.
Wait.
Wow.
I have a terrible French accent. How could I possibly have gotten this
okay,
wrong?
Okay, no.
Wow.
Should we give it to him?
Okay.
Should we give it to him?
This was...
No, shit.
Wait, technically that's the advertising portion of the show.
That's true.
I will have you know, I worked on my French accent longer... than Rita Ora did for hers in Fifty Shades of Grey.
I thought that was some actress that died in 62.
And no, also,
she's still alive.
Yes. When Tommy said that, he reached out to me almost to say, like, I see you, Lewis. I know it's you. And it so wasn't me. It was unfortunate.
Tommy.
Yeah.
Who once had the audacity to say Keep It to a baby?
Fuck.
Tommy just looked at me like we were on the Titanic and I had the last life jacket.
There is not room, Tommy.
Ira.
No!
It was actually
me.
It was the royal baby because we already had one we didn't do anything with.
Yeah. It was the girl.
Yeah, Charlotte was the new one. Imagine remembering Charlotte a baby. Right. I just... Oh, it's already gone. I don't remember.
These are hard.
Right.
These are tough.
Anyway, the girls are fighting. And you know, we can't get enough of it. Any true fan would have a strong opinion on the feud of the year. Mm-hmm. So, Tommy, are you Team Cardi or Nicki Minaj?
I know this one.
Do you?
Do you?
Cardi.
I would say yes.
Why are you Team Cardi?
Because you are.
That's actually a great answer.
Brilliant.
I'm the only one Team Nikki.
Why are you Team Nikki?
She follows me on Twitter.
Okay.
Pathetic.
We're going to try to get your average up here.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I think you're doing just fine. Who had this hot take about beloved late pop star Prince? Purple Rain is deeply overplayed, and we don't need to hear it ever again.
Right.
That is so fucked up. Who said that?
Tommy.
Tommy, come on.
Come on. Come on. Do you want a hint? You know a black person ain't say that shit.
So who does that leave? Lewis?
It was me. Guys, it's the 8th best track on that album. The only one worse is anybody? Computer Blue. That was correct. The other 7 are lovely.
You got 1 boo. Thank you.
That's right. He was ushered out of the room. He's gone now.
Usher?
Tommy, what shocking breaking news story triggered the beginning of the Keep It mysteries? A, the ongoing investigation into the Trump urination tape. I said urination because this shit is classy. B, Beyonce being mysteriously bitten at a Hollywood party.
or C, who threw the shoe?
B. It
yes.
Is B. Yeah. It is B.
That was such a fun story.
Yeah. Listen, unfortunately,
can you imagine biting Beyonce?
No.
Unfortunately, there was really only one suspect. It was like the like a Scooby-Doo thing where it's like, do you think it's the decrepit carnival worker? Right. I do. Yes. All right, we got one more.
Okay.
One more.
Shit.
This is really hard.
Is anyone keeping score? Good. 10 for 10.
Yeah. Who is not on Kara's top 10 list of white women?
Okay.
Is it A, Celine Dion? B, Victoria Beckham? C, Jane Fonda?
The opinions are wild. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. This isn't Price is Right. Pipe down out there.
I think it is B.
Tommy!
Tommy!
I thought you liked Jane Fonda for some
I
weird reason.
I do like Jane Fonda, but Victoria Beckham.
Jane's in the low 20s.
You know what? Listen, Victoria Beckham never smiles. Of course I love Victoria Beckham. I love a woman who just refuses to smile and is scowling all the time.
And also, like, her hair is always wrapped in, like, a chignon around her neck so that she can do the same face she always does in pictures, which is this. It won't translate on a podcast. I don't know why I even started this.
Tommy, you need to watch Victoria's Vogue.
Well, how many questions? 72, 73? Yeah. It's incredible.
It's the best one.
It's incredible.
She answers 73 questions?
Yeah.
Oh, rapid, you've not seen these
rapid
pictures?
Rapid fire!
Tommy?
Wow.
Yeah. It's really good.
All right, I'll watch it.
Yeah, after that, watch mine.
Oh, okay. And guys, hey, that was Tommy Vietor.
Hey. Thank you for having me.
Should we give it to him?
I thought he gets the Just Fine Award. Yes.
Yeah.
He is Keep It's fan.
Right.
No, you're our biggest fan.
I stand the show.
We love you. Oh, I guess I let Love It come on the show once, too.
You did, and it was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. He's funny.
It was really funny.
He's funny when you let him.
Yeah, wind him up.
Yeah, wind him up. You know, less so when he gives a 30-minute stand-up set before Love It or Leave It.
You don't like that?
I enjoy them listening at home. Sometimes you're just sort of like, ooh, still going.
Were you on stage waiting, or were you waiting in the wings?
When you're waiting in the wings to be on the episode, though, mm-hmm. You're just like, is it, oh? Oh, all right. A lot of bits.
You were on one of the earliest episodes of Love It or Leave It, and we had a party in my house after, and everyone came back, and we had drinks, and we barbecued, and there were dogs running around, and Pundit was falling in love with you, and
you just handed me a podcast
when we were like, "This guy's talented.
Oh,
he's got moves, verbal moves,
just like Jagger." but Love It came on, and we stole his game, Okay Stop, with the A Star Is Born trailer. Remember Star Is Born?
Yes, and I remember the trailer, and I remember hearing about the trailer from you before I saw the trailer, and it was as weird as you said.
Yeah, well, let's listen to that. Okay. You know what we're going to watch?
What are we going to watch, Ira?
Because it's Beyonce's birthday, and she almost starred in A Star Is Born. We are...
And it was,
what?
It was going to be directed by Scary Old Tree Clint Eastwood.
Learning all of this in real time.
Yes.
So we are going to watch the Star Is Born trailer with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to let the okay, stop. Is this, what's that Nashville show that got canceled?
Nashville?
Nashville, is that what it's called?
Hayden Panettiere about
this
to jump out.
Looks like an episode of Nashville. And had Beyonce been in this film, I'm going to guess it would not have started with a Nashville, like, beginning.
Talk.
Yeah. Baby, it's time to let the
takes a lot to change, man. Hell, it takes a lot to try. Okay, stop. Just for those listening, we've seen Bradley Cooper. He performs in front of huge crowds.
Oh, sure.
He's a huge star. Crowds. But then he gets in his car.
Mm-hmm.
What does he reach for?
Bottle of alcohol.
It's already country strong.
Bottle of alcohol. Right. That's
is country strong. Not was that a movie?
Yeah, it was that Gwyneth Paltrow movie.
Whew. Okay.
Here's the thing: there are not that many actors in Hollywood where if you go up to them and say, "We have this script," and you sing in it, that they won't grab it so hard you get paper cuts.
You know, man, in the old days, I always knew, like, you were going to do something.
Okay, stop. Right. That is the voice of Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
What the hell is he doing here?
Getting me excited about a film called The Star Is Born.
I might be sold already.
It's like John Legend in La La Land. They are luring Kara in.
Right. It's the first time I'm worried about you.
Okay, stop. I would just point out that, again, yeah, is he on the road? Is he performing in front of huge crowds? Sure. But he's also walking into some kind of a group therapy session. Yes. So he's troubled. He's dealing with something.
And by the way, I just want to add, fame's a drug. Okay?
That's true.
That's what we learned the hard way.
And this is the first time Dave Chappelle is worried about Bradley Cooper. This is the first time.
And he probably discovered who Bradley Cooper was on set.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Okay.
Tell me something, girl.
Do you write songs or anything?
Okay, stop. Lady Gaga, who is the star of A Star Is Born, has been discovered performing what I'm going to call sad burlesque. She is bathed in magenta lighting, and Bradley Cooper took one look at her and, based on the look, understands her.
Understands her musical prowess, I assume. He just saw deep into her soul and saw that.
He's about to look at her and be like, who is this diamond in the rough? Just with his crazy, wizened, Treasure of the Sierra Madre accent.
Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
But he also asks if she writes her own music.
Which is a personal question.
Yeah.
I don't sing my own songs.
Why?
I just don't feel comfortable.
Why wouldn't you feel comfortable?
Almost every single person has told me they like the way I sounded, but that they didn't like the way I look.
I think you're beautiful.
Okay, stop.
Bradley Cooper tells Lady Gaga that she's beautiful, and her face, it's like you told her that... I don't even know. She's never heard this before. It's the most shocking thing anyone has ever said to this beautiful woman.
Look, when... a famously beautiful woman removes her makeup. She is a disgusting cow.
Yes. She's an uggo.
She's a heretic.
She's all that.
She doesn't have her lashes on and suddenly...
She is unmarriageable.
Yes.
Unlovable. She can barely get through the pink lighting of the burlesque house in which she is currently singing.
Right. It's so pink.
But also, no one tells her she's attractive, but her job is to sexually thrive
on a stage
and entice men. So
she wrongly thought she was writhing in a fit of ugliness all of these years.
Hey.
What?
I just want to take another look at you.
Okay, stop.
That's so creepy.
I just want to make sure he's in a limo.
He pulls up, rolls down the window of a limo, and...
The first hour of the movie is Bradley Cooper helping Lady Gaga become famous. The second hour of the movie is Ronan following around Bradley Cooper.
trying to get him on the record. Yeah.
It's like he's like, I just wanted you to know there's a patriarchy and you live in it. Yeah.
This is a horror movie.
In all the good times I find myself longing for change.
Here's what we're going to do. Come sing that song that I love.
No, I can't do that.
Okay, stop. I just want to say that this is a movie about Lady Gaga not being sure she can do it. And I find that slightly far-fetched.
Look at me. All you gotta do is trust me. That's all you gotta do.
Okay, stop. Do you think you could sit through an entire movie of Bradley Cooper talking like that?
I think I can. I think I will.
Yeah.
I'm not.
It's kind of turning me on.
Oh my God.
Okay. Ira's in. Play Ira's in.
If we could play the clip now, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, stop. Do you think Bradley Cooper was like, please go up to the mic and do your ghost noises?
Here's the though.
Bradley, let's... you're in danger, girl.
We should all be honest, though. I'm going to be honest and say, this is a trailer that you can try not to like, but when you hear Lady Gaga do that thing, you're like, I'm in.
Yes.
But she is so good. And her voice is so good that when that all the other shit about the fact that it's yet another story about how, look, every talented woman out there is just one man away from success. Put all that aside, like all the intellectual reasons to dislike it. When she starts singing, I'm like, I'm gonna go to this movie.
Behind every successful woman, there's a creepy man in a limo telling you you are attractive.
You want to call him creepy, but you don't even think that. You don't think he's creepy. You're in.
I don't. Wow, it's been 500 years, but remember when Kara was on Keep It?
I do. I miss her every day.
Do you also remember that there are only 10 white women in the world that she likes?
Yes, I do, including her grade school teacher.
Oh, you mean Miss Davis?
Miss Davis, yes.
Well, listen, we're going to get her on the show eventually.
When you call Kara, do you play Since You've Been Gone by Miss Clarkson?
I've called Kara, but she doesn't return my calls.
She texts you back?
She's gone. She's in Paris. She's in Milan the next day. She's in Shanghai. She's on the run.
She's
really
a busy woman. She's working, you know. The best part about the whole white women list was somebody posted on Instagram, and all of a sudden Kristen Bell was up in the mentions. Like, I love the show. You guys are hilarious. And that's when I think we all knew this thing had taken on a life of its own.
Yeah, that Keep It was that show.
Mm-hmm.
That it was doing something that the other shows weren't doing.
It was untouchable. It was fun.
Yeah. Well, anyway, here is Kara's top 10 white women, which include Elizabeth Warren, who I stan. She did great in the debates last week. I just know it. Cut that clip if she fails, but she won't.
I'm going to go backwards from 10, but know that it's not a hard ranking.
Got it.
I didn't put them in that exact order. This is just a working list. So I have Mary Berry.
Interesting choice.
Oh, yeah. We love that great British bake-off.
I fuck with her and her exquisite pastries. I just like her. I like the idea of her being around.
May I do my impression of her?
Please.
You have achieved a light mousse. Thank you.
I also have, I know she's...
your British accent?
Nope. I don't need the accent. I just
summon
the spirit.
Yes.
I don't need to indicate as you
well,
do.
Well, you're not going to be invited to tea time at Big Ben.
Oh, my God.
Oh, good Lord.
Meisner-trained bullshit over here. My God.
This is not a famous woman, but my sixth grade English teacher, Miss Davis.
Oh, she got number 9.
Yeah, she's on there.
Oh, what'd she do?
She just was great, loved her.
Did she teach you how to write?
She was very helpful in teaching me how to write, yeah. And she, in her class, I read To Kill a Mockingbird, which went on to become one of my favorite books. And she just was like, fucking cool.
All right. Can't deny that.
We have Christine Baranski.
Oh, totally. We have lots of women with hard bangs right now.
Yes.
And like helmet hair, which is great. Yeah.
I, every time I see her on screen, I'm just reminded in The Good Wife. There's a lot of Good Wife love on this list.
Yes. There's The Good Wife. Y'all need to watch The Good Fight. People,
mm-hmm. Ira loves The Good Fight.
It is like,
but don't you know
her in that black firm TV and that shows. Her in that all yes! black firm? I was like, if I didn't already love you, Christine Baranski.
Heard Audra McDonald just sashaying around the office.
One time, I saw her in a turtleneck, and we have never had better severity. That is severity number one.
Audrey Hepburn was shook.
No, precisely. Oh yeah, funny face. Funny, get the fuck away. Bye.
This might be a bit of a curveball. Kristen Bell. Who I just...
Veronica Mars? I love that bitch!
I just find her so delightful. I think she's beautiful. I just love a Kristen Bell late night interview.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. No, she is a great late night interviewee. Mm-hmm. My one problem with Veronica Mars is I'm not sure I find her hilarious, but she's perfect for that role. She's perfect for that role.
Also, the video of her crying over that sloth.
Which was the realest TV moment ever.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Then we have, this is a fictional character, but I love her like she isn't, Alicia Florrick.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
From the Good Wife.
Lots of women who have their names embossed on things.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is my mood always.
Alicia Florrick is great As opposed to
Carol Hathaway on ER.
No, Juliana Margulies.
Oh, Juliana Margulies. Oh, like her fighting with
Archie Panjabi.
Yeah, I didn't
one of the
like
most
that.
Underrated feuds ever.
It is because they
had a reunion scene where they did not reunite.
But I love. I also feel like Alicia Florrick should have been mentioned in rap songs more. Like she just to me, I'm like
right because black people watch The Good Fight.
Exactly.
The Good Wife.
Exactly.
Also, my favorite thing about Alicia Florrick, I guess, also in Juliana Margulies, is like she always looks like she has kind of a headache. It's like she looks like if she looks like if Fran Drescher had a headache.
She
That's
does.
What she looks like.
Then we have Victoria Beckham.
Oh sure.
Who just from day one, her no smiling ass, she inspired me to continue to not smile.
Yeah, she's actively like, I'm just not going to do
like,
it.
She's like, I'm not going to do it. I don't care what any of you think. I am happy behind this scowl. I am loving my life. That she made the transition from those tacky ass jeans.
Oh, yeah.
To being like a legitimate fashion designer.
Have you ever seen these 73 questions with her? Do you know what this
is? Oh, of course.
Okay. Her 73 questions is probably the best.
It's probably.
I would say Nicole is the best, but let me say this. There is a part where they're like, if you could wipe out one problem, what would it be? And she turns to the camera and just goes,
AIDS.
And she, the way she says the word AIDS is like it's spelled AIDTZE, which is how it should be pronounced from here on out.
I love her.
Who would you have dinner with? David Beckham.
73 questions, deeply underrated.
Then I have the DOGG Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, she's the best. I always say she's like if Cher's Twitter went to Harvard.
Ooh, that's a good description. Elizabeth, if you're listening, we'd love you to come on, talk about ballers, perhaps.
Oh, yes. Only ballers. Only we won't
ballers.
Ask you about anything
It'll
else.
It'll be an all ballers episode.
I'll
just
actually
for you.
Watch ballers just to talk about it with Elizabeth Warren.
Then we have, you guessed it, Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, yeah.
My thick queen.
Behind these hazel eyes, she is just a queen.
I voted.
My December is my awakening.
Oh yeah. God, okay. I love your improv training.
I literally voted for her in American Idol. Like I had my landline and I dialed the numbers and I voted for Kelly Clarkson. So I feel like I've just been with her from day one.
As did I. Sorry to Myra Gray.
She has never disappointed. She's never said anything crazy. She just sings her songs.
All this anti-Nicki McKibben joy here. I'm just very shocked.
Then I have Robin Wright, who honestly in Wonder Woman, whatever spoiler, she dies. But I was like, oh, she's going to be Wonder Woman, right?
Right.
This is what I was assuming when I saw her on a horse in armor. I was like, oh, there is Wonder Woman. And it was not. But she can always come back. I would love a spinoff, mm-hmm. a Robin Wright superhero spinoff.
I feel like Robin Wright is somebody who just confidently with a slow nod tells you she doesn't have time.
Yes. And her with like the way she can carry like an asymmetrical haircut.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And just I want to watch her do push-ups. She's got those arms cut. A book.
I want a memoir of her Sean Penn days.
Oh, right.
I want that tea.
She's like if the singer Robin like aged into Claritin commercials. That's the look she goes for with a cream-colored everything. She's somebody who will wear a dusty pink, which I enjoy. Living rooms of the 80s, whatever colors they were, that's what she wore.
There's a hard stare happening right now. So then I have, now we're at the main event. I couldn't pick a number one. So I have two that are tied for first. And the first one is Martha Stewart.
Oh, yes. Talk about DOGG.
I mean, this bitch. There is an interview that she gave, I think it was maybe Vulture or New York Mag, where she talked about the correct way to cut a pomegranate. And someone said to her, Martha, what would you do if you saw someone doing it incorrectly? And she said, well, I would go and show them how to properly cut a pomegranate because why would you do it incorrectly? And it's that sort of unrelenting vision that has gotten her where she is down to cutting a guy. Who the fuck cares how you cut a pomegranate? Martha cares.
Oh, yeah.
My prison bae. I love her prison bae.
This bitch looks incredible. Have you seen a picture of her?
She's like coming up on 80, right?
She's like 77.
Yeah.
She's the best aged white woman I have ever seen in my life.
No. Also, I mean, like, I feel like I maybe brought this up on Keep It before. In the late 90s, there was a time when Martha Stewart told you to paint your cabinets robin's egg blue, and you fucking did it.
And you did it. Yeah. You did it. I mean, the prison component, she's just, it's hard to even speak when I think of Martha.
She did that.
She did that and continues to do that.
Also, the way she says the word Connecticut with its 90 syllables and her like garbled elitist tone.
Yes,
is
she's
exactly
also just
right.
So deeply Caucasian, and I love it. Like when you've just committed to that level of whiteness on every level of your life.
Right.
I can't be mad.
She wears denim in a way where like Blythe Danner can only dream.
But accessibly Caucasian.
Accessibly Caucasian.
Oppressively Caucasian.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Be excessively Caucasian.
And then we have, of course, Celine Dion. My brilliant nutter butter from the north. She's the voice. She is crazy. And I love her. I hope she never stops rambling. I love her accent. I love her hair. I love when she gets excited about something. I love when she gets upset about something.
Yeah.
I love every emotion and mood Celine Dion has ever had.
Her Larry King Live performance.
If you haven't seen her Larry King Live interview after Hurricane Katrina, I suggest you go watch it. Obviously, Hurricane Katrina was not funny. The interview is hilarious. She's very upset in a really true, genuine
heart
way.
Heart on her sleeve.
Just
heart
on her
any
sleeve.
Pop star.
Exactly. She had just donated like $1 million. She was like, no one is doing enough. We need to get them boats. I don't care if they're looting. She was going on and on. At the end, she breaks into song with tears streaming down her face. And it's just remarkable.
Also, I mean, she smiles and doves fly out. I mean, just... She also like loves like a sparkly sheath dress. Like, picture the $5,000 wedge on Wheel of Fortune. That is always how she is dressed. Just bright diamond.
She's the best thing Canada has ever produced.
Yes.
I say that confidently.
I'm an Alanis person, but I will allow this.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, Shawn Mendes is sitting right there shirtless. I will also say that whenever you want to talk about the best cover songs ever, they're usually Celine Dion songs.
They are.
She took people's songs and was like, no.
That Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
That Beauty and the Beast cover.
I can make them better.
So those are my favorite current white women.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. That's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
My name is Sarah, and I got involved with Vote Save America way back in 2018 when it first launched.
My name is Nancy, and I first got involved in VSA in 2018.
Ever since then, Vote Save America has been the best part of my political engagement. Anytime the election anxiety starts to feel overwhelming, I remind myself that my anxiety relief program donation is fueling grassroots organizations around the country.
And VSA has the Political Action Finder, a handy website I've used to find phone banks, knowing that I'm helping to win critical House seats.
In fact, I already signed up to volunteer with the Political Action Finder on the VSA website and helped replace disgraced former volleyball star George Santos.
So if you're someone who doesn't want to wake up on November 6th this year and regret not doing more, and I'm pretty sure you are, go to votesaveamerica.com to get started, and I'll see you at a phone bank soon.
This message has been paid for by Vote Save America. You can learn more at votesaveamerica.com, and this ad has not been authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
And now, we've come to our favorite segment of the episode. It's Keep It.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. I had a Keep It once that really incensed me.
Okay.
Some woman, I don't even remember her name, on Twitter was talking about how much brunch is awful. Mm. And honestly, brunch is where I get my power.
Well, yes.
You know, it's like the ooze, and I'm a Ninja Turtle.
Am I Splinter?
Yeah, you could be Splinter.
Okay, cool. That feels good.
Yeah.
Nice. Donatello. How many times a week do you go to brunch? Are you Saturday and Sunday?
I am Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm at brunch now.
Are you there was a time when we talked about this show being set at a brunch live.
I know.
Still got to deliver on that promise.
I want a live brunch episode, and I think that our audience wants it too.
Are you bottomless drinks at brunch,
yes,
drinking through Saturday? Is there a nap and then you go out?
There's an amazing restaurant in Silver Lake that has bottomless Aperol spritzes.
Ooh, what?
Yeah.
That's deadly.
Yeah.
That's going to get you in trouble.
Yeah. Well, it has. Anyway, here's that keep it. My keep it is to people who do not like brunch.
Oh, yes.
That is somewhat common. I hear that a lot.
It's such a basic point of view, though.
First of all, like, Yashar Ali is always on Twitter talking about brunch is bad and how many towels you need.
And that towel controversy.
And hating guac or whatever. Chill out. Some other woman was going on about it today. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe brunch is not for you. Someone was talking about how there's all these long waits and you're splitting a check between 12 people. I'm like, bitch, who is having brunch with 12 people?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Also, Venmo is real.
I don't have 11 other people that I like well enough to endure at noon on a Sunday.
I don't go to bachelorette parties anymore, and I'm no longer a 22-year-old CAA assistant, so I don't go to 12.
You should not be having weekly bachelorette parties.
Exactly.
When we have brunch, Riri,
yes,
it is black folks getting together.
It is melanated.
Queer folks getting together. Femmes.
Coconut oil.
Other people of color.
Trials.
It's just like people getting together when you've normally been in predominantly white spaces all week.
Or straight
spaces
like all week.
Kikiing, chilling, and having some good drinks. And people always say, oh, brunch, you're just drinking like cheap champagne.
I don't drink cheap champagne.
It's like I order the drink that I want. You know, I don't have to get the watered down $5 mimosas. And we're not going to those restaurants.
Nicole Kidman and I prefer a Bellini, but I concur. I would say a lot of the shade towards brunch happens.
All she does is drink Bellinis and Aquaman.
Really?
No.
Shut up. I think people are shady towards the fact that you can make a lot of brunch food at home. But at the same time, I love like an omelet that looks like art. Sorry, it's
better.
Who's
making a hollandaise? You have to go to brunch for hollandaise. And honestly,
I really, really tried to have a moment last year where I could make my own hollandaise sauce. And I was like, nah, bitch.
I look at that recipe every fortnight and I still haven't made it.
Also, how many people eat fucking salads all the time and rave about that? You can make salad at home.
And also, if your brunch
cook
isn't...
Cook that kale.
If your brunch isn't for you and your friends to gas each other up and give each other advice and tell you, you cute, you good, you're going to make it, then those aren't the people you should be having brunch with. So, like, reassess your own goddamn life.
Right. We're not just, you know, making Sex and the City zingers.
No.
When we're at brunch, we're talking about career developments. We're giving each other advice on things that you might need to do
You
next
need to stop
week.
Texting that man.
Yes.
It's not worth it.
What about your friends, quoth T-Boz?
Will they let you down?
That's what I'm
Will
saying.
Will they stand their ground at brunch?
Exactly.
Will they pay the bill and let you Venmo them later?
So they can get those points so they can upgrade their flight.
Yes. You know, let me get my Chase Sapphire points. Let me get my Delta Sky Miles. And also, another light keep it to every time I tweet about Venmo, cricket fans like to slither up into my mentions and say, we're using the Cash App. Cash App doesn't advertise on Keep It, so we're using Venmo.
Yay!
Do you remember that Lewis hates fall?
Yes, he hates fall, but he's a summer stan, and I get that.
Yeah, he not only hates fall, but he hates a very iconic Halloween movie. But surprise, I hate it too. Hocus Pocus.
1993 Disney classic.
Have you seen Hocus Pocus?
I'm Googling it. Bette Midler, some other people set in Salem, Mass. It's where my brother lives. Fun fact.
You have never seen this movie.
Sarah Jessica Parker. I might have, but I was 13 when it came out. What a funny, like, why does he hate it?
I mean, it's not great.
He's got a 33 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, you know, but people like it because nostalgia.
Yeah.
I guess.
Did you like the movie The Witches?
I love The Witches.
Do you like Roald Dahl in general?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of a Nazi sympathizer. He's got some problematic things.
Tommy, is that true?
Look, I should probably clarify something. I don't know that he was a Nazi sympathizer per se, but he said some pretty heinous things about Jewish people, and you can Google it and decide for yourself.
Mm, well, who hasn't?
So much for your childhood memories.
Isn't that how you run for the GOP these days?
It is. Yeah, he would probably do well at the Republican debates.
Anyway, here's Lewis's keep it. What's your fucking keep it?
I don't mean to be a continuous downer about fall, but my
do
keep
you not?
It, well, I don't.
Okay. I think you
it
love
is
it.
Fun for me. My keep it is to fans of the movie Hocus Pocus. Guys, it's shitty. I'm sorry. Here's the problem with this movie. If it were
there are so many head shaking right now, by the way, in this room.
They're quaking, as they say. If the movie were actually about the three witches, it would be a great movie. But it's really about these damn kids and their, like, trick-or-treating adventure. So that's nothing.
You know what, Lewis? You...
Oh, you're going to call me Anti-Thora Birch?
Done it.
Today?
Because I fucking agree. I hate Hocus Pocus!
It's a bad movie.
It's trash! It is a bad fucking movie. I'm tired of people talking about it every fucking Halloween. It's not good.
It's not good.
I don't want a Hocus Pocus 2.
And by the way,
I don't want to see those kids.
It's not even quotable. There are like two quotes from Bette Midler that are fine. You want to see a Bette Midler movie? You go see First Wives Club. You go see For the Boys, whatever. Sarah Jessica Parker, go watch LA Story. There's a show she was on, Sex and the City. Kathy and Jimmy, we have Sister Act, and she is wonderful on the
those
pyramid.
Those are children's shows. This movie is for children.
If everybody who was into Hocus Pocus would just be twice as into Addams Family Values, the world would be a better place. And by the way, Addams Family Values, you got your Angelica Houston, Joan Cusack, and Christine Baranski, who was on the white lady list.
I think you all are confused because you're grown men. That show is for children.
I didn't like it when I was a child.
For children, it is an appropriate, delightful movie. I'm not surprised adult men are not enjoying Hocus Pocus. Well, it was not made for them.
Well, you better go to BuzzFeed.com right now, where adult men are sitting around talking about it right now and forever.
First of all, Hocus Pocus came out when we were children.
Yeah, I was seven.
I did not like it then. Also, I think that movie is kind of inappropriate for kids. They make a lot of sex jokes.
Totally.
Oh, please.
And Gary Marshall's in it being creepy.
My children aren't watching it.
Oh, God.
Bad movie. Plenty of other great Halloween movies.
Ira Madison IV will not be watching Hocus Pocus.
Well, you just said there were great Halloween movies, which makes you sound like you think Halloween is okay if you think there are great Halloween movies.
I don't mean to give any credibility to the horror community. I don't like you guys either, including you, Ira.
What?
Horror fans need to be quiet. That's for next week.
Do you remember the time Kara was upset at Nicki Minaj comparing herself to Harriet Tubman?
Yes. I thought Kara made some good points here because it's really easy to not compare yourself to Harriet Tubman.
I know, right?
You know?
I mean, it took me forever to get here to the studio. I had to take an underground railroad. I just compared myself to Harriet Tubman. Anyway.
We're on a journey here.
Here's Kara's keep it. Question. Kara, what's your keep?
Okay. So, Lauryn Hill has been in the news recently. Robert Glasper, who, by the way, does not have a great outlook on women generally, but was really critical of her. People have been writing think pieces. Lauryn responded with a very long note on Medium, and I'm just going to read this one graph for you. She says, "Perhaps my seriousness and militancy in the face of tremendous resistance was misinterpreted as meanness, or that I was unloving or uncaring when my true intent was to protect. I wouldn't be the first Black person accused of this. I don't think of Harriet Tubman's skills as those of a hostess, but rather her relentless dedication to helping people who wanted out of an oppressive paradigm. If you bitches don't stop mentioning goddamn Harriet Tubman, I swear to God, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Stop mentioning this woman's name. Nothing you are doing is anything like Harriet Tubman will ever be, isn't in the universe. Stop saying her name. She doesn't want you talking about her. I promise you. Stop bringing up Harriet Tubman. Ever. None of you are allowed to bring her up. None of you. Stop it. Stop it right now. Keep it. Shut up. I cannot stress to you enough to stop fucking talking about this woman. It is not like freeing slaves. It is nothing like slavery. I don't know what's wrong with you and why you keep bringing up specifically Harriet Tubman.
Also, Harriet managed to free the slaves and be on time for her concerts.
That's right. She gave you a follow-up album.
And I'm not even not on Lauryn Hill's side. Like, I think she made some good points. And then you undercut everything by mentioning and comparing yourself to goddamn Harriet Tubman.
Right, the rest of it was great.
I was like, oh, okay, oh, points were made. Harriet? Harriet Winslow?
Yes.
Oh, Tubman.
Disappear like Judy Winslow is what I'm talking about.
Lauren, and I was rooting for you. I even though I know that if the entire survival of humanity rested on you showing up on time to something, we'd all be dead. I know that. But still, I still love the album. It's one of the greatest albums ever made. Shut up. Shut up.
Tommy,
mm-hmm.
It's 4th of July. Do you have a Keep It about America?
Yeah, I have a Keep It.
Okay.
Keep It to laws restricting fireworks.
Really?
Yes, I love fireworks. When I was little, we had a neighbor who would have them shipped up illegally from North Carolina. We'd have one of those tubes, launch them way up in the air, and blow shit up. And you know what? Sure, people got hurt. Sure, my dog tried to eat the tube as it was launching, and it was a close call. But it was fun. And I like fireworks. And I don't like anybody who doesn't like fireworks. So keep it to you.
Mm. You know,
haters, firemen.
I like fireworks better than the Katy Perry song Firework.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't there a Drake song Fireworks too?
Yeah. That's better than actual.
That
fireworks.
Album was pretty good.
Yeah.
That whole Drake album.
Every Drake album is good except for Views.
Mm. Yes. True.
Anyway, that's our episode.
Hell of a best of right there.
Thanks for being here, Tommy.
It was my pleasure as always. I love being in the small, loving confines of the Keep It studio.
Of course. I mean, it was really just a ploy to get people to listen to this episode.
Oh,
that's a clip
shit.
Show.
Oh, fuck. This was a clip show?
I'll see you next week. Keep It is a product of Crooked Media. Caroline Reston is our producer. Our editor is Sarah Barrett, and Kyle Seguin is our sound engineer. Thanks to our digital team, Elijah Cohn and Nadine Melkonian, for filming and editing our video content every week.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.